headphones.
Right now, folks, save the day. It's time for Judy Wertmann. It's Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, Simon Lucis is here. I mean, Simon Lucis' his tummy. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring her in. The doctor is in the house, Judy Wertmann.
Good morning to you. Wish this was on a Skype or something so I could.
You could weigh in.
That's exactly right.
Well, you can weigh in anonymously.
All right.
Anyway, I wish you had a solution for the other problem that we're talking about, which is what do you do about people who want to look attractive and want to wear clothes that look like other people's clothes, that is attractive and fashionable. And yet, the choices they have are so limited that they end up wearing anything that will fit over their bodies.
Yeah, the plus size thing. I will just say that this has improved slightly. And so I will just throw it out there that if you want to, it's so horrible. But it is slightly better than it was.
Yes. No, you're absolutely right. There are a few so to start from the beginning, we're talking obviously about people who, for a variety of reasons, find themselves in what the fashion industry calls a not normal size, a plus size, a woman's size, a large size. Normal, the fashion industry says, is a size 12, and anybody over that size is in a abnormal size, I guess. Even though almost the majority of women in the United States tend to wear size 16, 18, or above. I really can't believe it's a majority. But it probably is maybe 30 or 40%, because that is the number of, the percent of obese people in our country.
But also, if you count people who don't really shop, then you got to lop off 20% just because they don't care. So then you're in a bigger, it appears to be a bigger number. And I'm only saying that because, in certain situations, I'm watching some of the evacuation footage in the Carolinas of caregivers and moving patients and so forth. It's like you're not size six. You're not dealing with size six here.
No, that's exactly right. Okay, so that's the reality.
Yep.
And the reality is that, like anything else, fashion is an industry. It's a business, and it's there to make money. And so you would think that if you had a sizable, I keep using these bad puns, a portion of the economy that is willing to spend money, and they are willing to spend money on clothes that make them look attractive, that people would develop strategies, either technological strategies to make clothes, make the body look more attractive, or the way the woman wants her body to look, or certainly clever designs to enhance the positive features of a womanly body, and not feel that their objective is simply to disguise it. And this has been talked about by one of these fashion gurus. His name is Tim Gunn. Anybody who has ever watched the runway story about I can't think of the name. It's a story about is a program about people, designers who are trying to compete with each other to see who can design the most interesting and cutting edge fashion. And a Project Runway. And what he said is that it's really a disgrace that as designers come out of schools of fashion, or perhaps they're even self-taught, that their goal, of course, is designed for a size zero body in which everything, you can put a paper bag on it with some pleats, everything will look attractive. And when, during the course of each season, they had to deal with what was called a normal woman, usually the models were the mothers or the sisters of the other contestants, and they chose among themselves which model they would dress, they were flabbergasted, flummoxed. They did not know what to do, and they were angry. Why do I have to dress this woman? Because she has breasts and hips, and she has lumps and bumps, and she doesn't look like a size zero, and anything I put on her is going to look terrible. And so their idea was cover it up, put on a burqa-type outfit or a cape or a voluminous shawl, something to cover up the top, and we'll make wide pants or a wide skirt or a bag-like dress, and it'll cover up the bottom, and therefore we can pretend that woman doesn't exist. And I think you're right, Jill, that there are now designers, vanishingly small numbers, but some designers who say, okay, why don't we realize the reality of the fact that there are larger women who want to look attractive, who are willing, many of them, to spend the money on the clothes to make them look attractive, and we're going to design clothes to make them meet their goal. But that's not obviously the mantra of the fashion industry. I mean, you pick up any fashion magazine, and the models are so thin that if you look at them sideways, they would disappear.
Yeah, and they all look like they're kind
of... I have to butt in here because of being someone of girth, different sizes over the years. Men have always had the advantage in clothes over women. Men
right.
have been there's been attractive clothing designed for men that are double, triple, and quadruple XL.
Ralph Lauren did it immediately.
NFL players, you know, football players.
You're right, Paul. Absolutely.
And you could and myself included. You could dress to the nines and look good and be big and everything like that. And women's clothing, for some reason,
this is a place
so
where
far behind.
Well, but this is a place where, frankly, Me Too could do some good. You know what I mean? In other words, by this I mean simply show the imbalance between. Like, there's a real disparity here because, as you say, fashion is a business, and you know, even these guys who are dressing in big and tall and whatever, you know, sometimes like people to look a certain way. Let's just say
that's right. And I think there's a basic misunderstanding that is that these fashion designers do not want to dress a woman's body. They want to dress a body that looks like a prepubescent boy. You know, a boy who is 11 and three quarters, hasn't quite gone into puberty, and is absolutely flat. That's the kind of, a coat hanger. That's the kind of body they want for their fashions, because then the cut takes over the thing.
Right, exactly. And, okay, you get that. But there's also, I guess what I would say is, just as there should be, I read something pretty horrifying about local news and... You know, there's just no things really, in most cases, aren't covered from a local perspective anymore. Everyone's just sort of focused on the national. People don't understand there's a huge market of people who would like to dress lovelily.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Are unable to do so.
Well, you know, there's a company called Duluth Trading, and you see all their commercials, and they're designed for men.
For men.
But you go to their website. And they have the exact same type of clothing for women. Now, not the work clothing, but the dress clothing and stuff like that.
I'm going to raise my hand, but I'm raising my hand again simply to say, going back to, hey, why is it so scary to do that for women? It's like Duluth clothing. Yeah, you think man immediately, and then they have it for women. That I mean, that's
right.
It's like if you want a little bit of equality, let's start there.
My husband buys shirts from a place called Untucked. Which means, you know, you can wear your shirt out. You don't have to wear it tucked in.
Right.
And they have one page for women's. You know, the whole catalog is men's shirts, one page women's. Many women do not want to show their waist. They'd be very happy with neatly tailored shirts that go over their waist that don't hang down to their knees. And, again, why, you're absolutely right, Jill and Mark, why don't they have the same companies realize that the women's body should be, you know, esteemed and not tried to be and not ignored. And again, the worst thing is that if you find yourself, and I had a client like this, who was a very athletic, very slim body, she could have been on the cover of Shape magazine, and she gained weight on antidepressants, and she was in tears. She couldn't wear anything. She wore stretched-out yoga pants and an oversized T-shirt until the weather got too cold, and then she substituted a sweater. Why? Why shouldn't she have been able to dress her body to continue to look good? But she couldn't, and she was a young woman.
Yeah,
so I think you're right, Jill. I think there has to be a Me Too movement. Me Too, look at me. I may not be a size 2, but you still can dress me attractively.
Exactly.
Maybe we'll start here.
Okay, done.
All right, good.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.